Joey Alfieri. There's no Noel Butler. There's nothing.
What are we doing?
Are we doing a test on our transmitter?
In fact, I think you could be onto something. That might be what's happening, yes.
But damage works in, feeds it back, and Fritz score! Off the skate of Chris Letang and in, and the Rangers have regained the lead. Buchnevich has his 10th of the year on a sweet hop by Tristan Jarry.
Last year he had 20 points. This year he's got 21 points. And this is a 21st.
Miller and McGuire together again, getting higher in Pittsburgh. He's back home, Gord is.
Gord Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Poker Palace. Just 15 minutes from downtown Montreal, poker-palace.ca.
Good evening, Gord. How you doing?
I'm well, sir, and you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm okay. That's a quick turnaround for you. Well, it's getting close to the finish line here for some of us, you know, for 2017.
Is it close to the finish line for all of us for 2017?
you are just getting ready, Mr. Miller, right?
Yeah, I know. That's it's kind of a daunting. You know, I'm going through these long lists of the training camp rosters and such, and whew.
Well, I thought I'd start there with you for a couple of reasons. There's a lot to talk about with the IOC announcement yesterday and the NHL and the Habs, of course. But I don't have the complete roster in front of me, but I know Will Bitton was one of the players invited to camp. He was a third-round pick by the Canadiens last year, right? Playmaking centerman. On the surface, at first glance, what do you see?
The same thing that happens every year. That, you know, so people will talk about Owen Tippett not being invited, the Florida first rounder. They'll always talk about who's not there. I think the goaltending is a little more settled this year. Interesting that Connor Ingram wasn't invited back. So it's rare that a player who was on the team the year before isn't invited back. Ingram was one of the goalies last year. But Carter Hart has had just a tremendous year in the Western Hockey League, the Philadelphia Flyer draft, who has been dominant in that league. So, I mean, he will be Canada's goalie in the World Junior. And it's rare that you can say that going in the last couple of years, that they would have a bona fide number one goaltender.
All right. For those who are having trouble trying to figure out when the Canadians have to definitively, one way or the other, make a decision on Victor Mete in regards to possibly sending him to the camp, it's what?
December 19th.
Yeah, I was right. Okay.
That's the NHL roster freeze, and that is when Canada played its first exhibition game on the 20th, and so they would want the player by then anyway. So, yeah, it would be the 19th.
So when you hear, I know you were busy, but after the Canadiens lost to St. Louis, and Victor Mete got 17 minutes plus of ice time, that's the most he's been given since very late in October against another big team, as it turns out, the Los Angeles Kings.
And Victor Mete continues to gain some experience here, you know, and he's only going to get better, you know, as he plays and stuff like that. This was a good test for him, you know, and I know there was times where, you know, he had his hands full, but that's, he'll never get better if you don't give him that opportunity. So, so it was a good experience for him.
You want to just take that on the surface, or you want to read something into it, or what?
Hard to read the tea leaves there. I mean, you know, if your primary concern is him developing, then he should go to the World Junior. Right?
Well, especially you've got Jakub Jaroback, who looked pretty good, who's 26 years of age, who's not playing right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, my view has always been, and I've seen this for a lot of young players where it really jumpstarts their career, a chance to go play there. And you know, it's hard, though, because when you come from the NHL to the World Junior, you expect to dominate. It's hard to dominate at any level. And so if you do, it's like, well, you're an NHL player, you're supposed to. And if you don't, it's like, what's wrong with them? Right? So it's a real double-edged sword that way. But I think, you know, for Mete's long-term interest, they would best be served by playing in the World Junior, playing 24 minutes a night, being on the power play, you know, have the puck on your stick a lot. But I don't know which way the Canadians are leaning. It's really hard to say.
What about from Team Canada's perspective? Like, what is the standard operating procedure in a situation like this? Is there open communication and ongoing communication?
Yeah, okay. For sure. And the Canadians and Hockey Canada have a good relationship, so they've been in contact, and I'm sure they have a plan laid out that we're not privy to. But, you know, it would depend on injuries, too. I mean, you know, if someone gets hurt on the blue line between now and the 19th, that might change things. you know, it's really up to the club, and I'm surprised that Mete has stayed this long, but they seem pretty committed to it. It's not always a successful path. It has been for a few players, but you know, I hope they do what's best for him, not just in terms of the World Junior, but long term, because you want him to be a Montreal Canadian for 10 to 12 years, not for 10 to 12 months.
With TSN's Gord Miller, the voice, of course, of the World Junior Hockey Championship on TSN through the holidays. On Melnick in the afternoon every Wednesday after 6 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick until 7 o'clock.
So when it comes to young players, and I suppose I'm asking this thinking about Victor Mete, Gord, is there a consensus you've discovered when it comes to force-feeding a player, putting him in a situation where, yes, he'll learn, but he may also become overwhelmed and kind of lose confidence? Is there any kind of coaching consensus on that one?
You mean in the NHL?
Well, in the NHL, or if they decide to send him to junior and he ends up playing, would they want him playing, you know, 22 minutes a night if the coaching staff with Canada feels it's warranted?
Oh, for sure. And I, the one thing is that Canada will not make any guarantees to the Canadians. They will not say, hey, you know, he's going to be on the power play for sure. He's going to do. They won't make those promises. You'll earn your ice time. You know, it's been a struggle at times for players that have come from the NHL. No, I remember Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in the lockout year playing in UFA. You know, he'd come from the NHL and really had a hard time getting going. So, you know, you sometimes wonder if from the Team Canada perspective, are they better off if the guy just stays in the NHL at this point? That question has been asked. But obviously, you take the best player, and you take your chances. But I mean, yeah, I think that I don't think that the concern is him being overwhelmed at the World Junior. I think the concern for Mete would be if it's February and March, and the Canadians are in the middle of a playoff race, and he's playing 9 minutes or not playing. That's a problem, because that's not what 18- and 19-year-old players should be doing.
Russia should be kicked out, lock, stock, and barrel. This was state-supported. This was the highest level of government involved in manipulating urine samples and using former KGB agents to intimidate clean athletes. I thought,
yes, I expected this, because while we should commend the IOC for taking this stance and you know, putting the, well, it's not really a blanket ban, because of course they are still going to allow Russians to compete under the Olympic flag if they prove to be clean, it's still a pretty massive step that the IOC's made.
Brian Williams, of course, anchor for so many Olympics in this country on television. Andy Petrillo, your host at Leafs Lunch that Gord contributes to every day at noon, TSN 1050, who was on her way to her third Olympics as an anchor during the day. Gord, I know it's the Olympics. It's not specific to hockey, but there's a big hockey postscript to it, of course. What do you see beyond this in relation to the KHL?
Well, I think, you know, with Putin saying today that he's not going to stand in the way of Russian players, Russian athletes competing in the Olympics, and the KHL having a scheduled 33-day break, it's from what we understand, Slava Malamud, you know, who watches Russian hockey closely, said that the core of the Russian team has said they will go play under the OAR banner, O-A-R, Olympic Athletes of Russia. I'd like to write the words to that national anthem, by the way. I think that'd be good. But I think they're going to go. And, you know, we saw it in the early 90s when the old Soviets competed under the Unified Team or the Commonwealth of Independent States banner. So there is precedent for this. You know, first of all, I think that a Canadian deserves a lot of credit in all this. That's Richard McLaren from the University of Western Ontario, who wrote the first two reports on the Russian doping that were really the basis for what came afterwards and the decision that was made. And McLaren took a lot of heat during that time, and he's been proven right, and he's been vindicated, and rightfully so. I think this is a very stiff penalty, and it certainly cast the Russians in a negative light. But, you know, Putin offered no apology today, and no assurances that anything will be different in the future. So,
he's running for president again.
And running for president again. So, in what I'm sure will be a razor thin election, So the Russians seem undaunted by this. I'm sure their athletes will go. They'll win lots of gold medals, and they'll be paraded back home as, you know, a symbol of Russia's place in the world. And the Russians do place, you know, sport as part of their foreign policy. There's never been any question of that. Russian athletic prowess is considered part of their foreign policy. And this will play into that narrative that Russia is ascending and the rest of the world is trying to keep them down again.
It's hard, you know, it's a tough situation, but I think our athletes have to go and do their best.
Okay, there's Alexander Ovechkin in Washington today ahead of the Capitals and Blackhawks game. Do you feel one way or the other about Ovechkin and Malkin? Have we mentioned this to you before, being on Team Putin?
Yeah. Hey, listen, they've got the right to express their political views, and people have the right to speak out about that. I mean, free speech isn't free, right? There's consequences to speech, and I think that, you know, they obviously have strong feelings about their politics back home. And I guess, you know, you wish they wouldn't, you know, use the public forum to express it, but they have the right to do that.
There you go. It's kind of like Gallo here. Gallo's a big Ovechkin fan. He doesn't care. When he's watching the game, he doesn't care about anything other than what he's watching. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, and it comes that way with a lot of things. I mean,
Do you care? Okay, let me ask you this, Mitch. You're watching an athlete who's been convicted of a crime. Does that bother you?
I mean, I guess it would depend what the crime is.
Well, so Michael Vick, when Michael Vick came back, did that bother you?
Well, he played for the Eagles, Gord. I'm a little biased there.
No, I'll tell you how I feel. as someone, seriously, we had a lot of very heavy-duty discussions. My belief, expressed at the time, I think what he did was monstrous, and he paid a price for it.
Right, served his time.
Once he came out of jail and he seemed genuine in coming to the realization that what he did and how he was raised was way out of bounds, I rooted for him. I rooted for him to change his life around. Yeah.
What about Adrian Peterson? Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you're saying that you just watch the sport and you separate yourself from what the athlete did and what they do on the field, then what's the difference between a political statement that, you know, can be construed as supporting a dictator who, let's be honest, intimidates opponents and has done God knows what else, and a person who's committed a crime?
I think we're talking about in the moment, right, of the 2.5-3 hour window of an actual game. I can do that. I know that some of my favorite artists that I listen to were not very nice people. But they created, and that's, you know.
There's a difference between being not a very nice person and doing not nice things to other people.
Yes,
a lot of the artists that you like had drug problems, you know, substance abuse problems, things like that. I suspect that you would view it differently if one of your favorite artists had been convicted of spousal abuse or sexual harassment.
No, I as long as they came to terms with it and paid a price and made amends. You know, it depends on the degree of how you get involved. I guess this goes to the whole point of trying to live vicariously through other people, but it's how deeply you want to get involved in somebody else's life.
But right? Here's the thing. Being a professional athlete, being an elected official, you know, holding a position of public responsibility, you tend to forego the right to do that once you've committed a crime. Like, for example, if a politician had been convicted of what Michael Vick did, he would not be able to run again.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. In this current climate south of the border, Gord, I don't know about that.
Well, he would be prevented from being appointed to a public. Look at Art Briles with the Hamilton Ticats, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's a very difficult one, and I'm not saying there's a black and white to this because it's really gray, but I think when you make the blanket statement that I'm able to separate what an athlete does away from the playing field or arena and what they do inside it, I think that's hard to do in a lot of cases.
I mean, Gord, I just want to go to a game and watch Ovechkin score goals. I don't want to think about the other stuff. But you know what, Mitch?
And I'm not coming down on you here, but that attitude is what allowed a lot of people to get away with things in the past when people would look the other way.
And see, but the biggest issue here, I find, is that sports, we try to use it as an escape. And if you start bringing this stuff into it, then my only escape, it's kind of getting ruined.
But the escape, I mean, that's life. You can't escape from life. You know, I mean, I'm sure the people that want to go to the movies can escape and love Harvey Weinstein's movies. But you can't escape. You can't escape from the fact of what it turned out. What he did. You can't escape from what Kevin. I think Kevin Spacey's a great actor. I don't think I can watch it. I don't think I'll be able to watch a Kevin Spacey movie or production now.
Well, let me. That's a good point because it's relatively new. Rod and I were both, like a lot of political junkies, very much enjoyed House of Cards and the different twists and turns that it took.
Yeah, and
if a new season was announced tomorrow, would you watch it?
Well, in fact, there will be a new season.
And well, they're writing them out?
Yeah, Robin Wright, Claire Underwood will be the lead. Kevin Spacey's character was going to just cease to exist, I suppose. But I'm actually really happy that we're going to have a new season, and they're doing the right thing, removing Frances Underwood from the picture. But also, this is a production that has 200 jobs attached to it. So, and it's filmed in Baltimore. You think about the film crew and the caterers. Like, to me, that was a perfect solution. You can't always come up with a perfect solution. But in that case, Mitch, in that one series, they did it really well.
So what if Kevin Spacey has a new movie coming out next year?
I don't see any. I hardly see any movies. The answer to that would be no.
Well, Mel Gibson.
Personally.
So Mel Gibson produced Hacksaw
no,
Ridge, right?
I haven't seen it. I won't see it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, Mitch, is Mitch Melnick, that you can't separate the two. That you can't.
It's very hard to separate the two. With the Ovechkin thing, it's more vague, right? Because we don't really know him. And we know that he's attached himself to Putin, and we know what kind of monster Putin has been. So, yeah, it bothers me. It does bother me that he's... But what am I going to do about it? What's the National Hockey League going to do about it? Nothing.
Let me
watch the frickin' game for 2.5 hours and try to enjoy it. That's all.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between supporting a political candidate and being someone who commits crimes or does something horrible.
I just hope for eventually redemption, that people find redemption, people who have
sure.
been, that's what I hope for. I think we've solved almost everything except the upcoming election in Russia.
Oh, I think we know what's going to happen there, don't we? Pretty sure we know what's going to happen there, Mitch. If you'd like to make another bet, I'd be happy to take you on in that one. But
I don't know if you'd even pay your bet, according to what Pierre Maguire told us earlier in the week.
What did he say?
He said he told you to take a certain airline and you didn't, and so you were late for dinner.
I wasn't late for dinner. B, NBC booked that airline, and C, dinner was paid for by him because he lost the bet.
Oh, which wager did he lose?
You may recall last year that a certain TSN analyst said that Montreal wouldn't make the playoffs on your show. And I said they would. And as a result, I got a steak dinner. I got a steak dinner at, where do we go?
Pittsburgh.
The Capital Grill.
Yeah.
Capital Grill, Pittsburgh.
All right.
Yeah. So... Again, I feel bad fleecing everyone at TSN Montreal, but you guys seem to be lining up to get it done. So
fleece away.
And now the problem is I'm eating way too much red meat.
Yeah. Well, you might want to give Max Pacioretty a call. He might be able to help you out there.
Was he off red meat now?
He's been Gallo. You know more about this since the summer.
He's a vegan now.
Yeah. Here's Mark Dumont on the morning show with Connor McKenna and the gang.
Do you think that he needs to get more of his protein from meat?
I've actually had that conversation before. I'm not a nutritionist, Sean, but in MMA, there's a few guys that went vegan, and they quickly dropped off the map.
All right. So that was with Sean Coleman on the morning show. Yeah, he's been a vegan since the offseason.
So in Montreal, you're actually debating what the players eat.
They were on the morning show.
This is really a thing. Like you guys actually have discussions about what the players eat.
I guess the answer to that is yes.
Do you ever think that maybe things get scrutinized a little too much there?
You ever think that maybe we could use the return of the Montreal Expos a little?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. So I'll tell you what. You give me a call when that ballpark gets built, and I'll go to the first game with you.
Done. As long as you pay for the hot dogs.
Mitch, by the time that ballpark is built, neither of us will be able to consume a hot dog. Except through a straw.
Oh, that's awful. Thanks, as always. We'll talk to you in a week.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Honey, what are you doing?
Aren't I thoughtful? I really shouldn't have. How did I even know that that was on my list? And it's not like I was even that nice this year. I love me.
Get the LG G6 Plus for $0 with an eligible Videotron plan and receive B&O earphones worth $199 as a bonus gift. But hurry, this offer ends Tuesday. Certain conditions apply. Videotron.
At Gaz Metro, we're changing our name. Natural gas is still a part of us, though we're expanding our horizons. Renewable natural gas, solar energy, wind power.